If we combine the gospel stories together, we find that it all started with three women who loved Jesus. Three women who could not stand the thought of his body had been buried without proper preparation, proper anointing. So they gathered together while it was still dark, and as the sun lightens the eastern horizon, they make their way to the tomb. The conversation there on the way there is full of concern and many unanswered questions. They were thinking this: will the soldiers who are guarding the body of Jesus turn us away? How will we get to the tomb, into the tomb? Who will help us to roll the stone away? As they leave the city, the earth begins to quake and shake beneath their feet. Can you picture these three women as they fall to the ground? Can you see them huddled together, embracing each other in fear? Perhaps one of them, from her lips, escapes a scream. Then just as suddenly as this earthquake starts, it stops and the earth is still. In the sky overhead, towards where the tomb lies, a great streak of lightning flashes straight down from heaven to earth. Lightning, but not lightning. A strange light, a bright light, an angelic light. They get to their feet and continue towards the tomb, more fearful than before, still with great concern, still with many unanswered questions. As they arrive, they're astounded to see that the great stone that had blocked the entrance has been rolled away. No soldiers now guard the tomb. Can you see the sun as it begins to peek over the eastern horizon and light the scene before them? Can you see them as they timidly creep towards the entrance and peek into the tomb? And what is it that they see? A young man sitting there, bright and white, on the ledge where Christ's body should have been. They once again, these women, cry out, terrified and astonished. But the young man calms them. His smile is radiant. His countenance glows. His simple robe is impossibly white and seems to reflect the sun's, the sun whose beams have unexplainably found their way into the tomb. Can you hear his voice? It's divine. And he speaks words hard for them at first to comprehend. Wonderful words. Improbable words. The young man has been sent here to make the most important announcement the world has ever received. This is what he said: "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." This angelic message was the first Easter sermon that was ever preached. Hundreds and thousands have been preached since then, but this one was the one that has never, I think, been improved upon. Can I break it down for you this morning? I mean, if I could have stolen the angel's sermon notes, can I tell you what the main points of his message was? Number one, don't be afraid. Jesus was crucified for you. Before this angel announces anything about Christ's resurrection, he first reminds them of the death, of his death on Calvary's cross. The first message reminds us that we do not need to be afraid. I've never seen in my lifetime my nation more controlled by fear as I have seen in the past several weeks. I've watched it, and you've watched the same thing. The message on this Easter morning begins with this admonition: be not afraid. Before we talk about the resurrection, can I remind you of this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I remind you of this? For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you paralyzed with fear this morning? Does it control you? Is it eating at you? Is it robbing you of the peace and the assurance that you should possess? Well, let me say this. God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sins. And if he loves you that much, I think he loves all of us enough to take care of us during this crisis. Fear not. I want to say to Christians, fear not. I want to say to the little children, fear not, fear not. He loved you enough to not only die for you, but to die for you in the most horrible manner known to man. He loved you enough to bear your shame on Calvary's cross. He loved you enough to bear your pain on Calvary's cross. He loved you enough and me enough to bear our sins that day on the cross of Calvary. And the blood he shed that day, it's powerful enough to destroy the devil and his demons. It's powerful enough to purchase for each of us redemption. It's powerful enough to provide payment for our sins. It's powerful enough to satisfy the righteousness of God. The blood that he shed that day, it's powerful enough to cover the sins, your sins, my sins, on our eternal record. It's powerful enough to make us and to adopt us into the family of God. It's powerful enough to open heaven's gate and present us unblameable before the throne. It's powerful enough to write my name and your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and purchase for each of us the gift of everlasting life. Fear not. Fear not. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But wait. The angel is not done speaking yet. He's got a second message for us. Here's the second message. You will not find Jesus in this tomb. He is risen from the dead. This was a proclamation of Christ's resurrection from the dead, but not just a proclamation. This also was the proof of Christ's resurrection from the dead. He says, come, see the place where he lay. The angel did not just proclaim the truth of the resurrection. He invited him right into the tomb. He said, come and see the place where he lay. He is not here, for he is risen from the dead. A teenage girl, I love this story, I read it this week. A teenage girl who was a missionary's daughter landed on shore in China many years ago. On the way over, on the long ship voyage over to China, she told her father over and over again, Daddy, the first person that I see when we get to China, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. They finally docked. They finally arrived. As soon as she landed, there was a Buddhist priest sitting on the dock near the loading ramp. Can you picture her? She marches up, little teenage missionary daughter marches up to this Buddhist priest, and she says, sir, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, God's son, who died on the cross for your sins. This Buddhist priest looked up at her and sneered at her. He says, there are many gods, many Christs, many who claim to be the Son of God. Which one of these do you worship? And she smiled down at that Buddhist priest and loudly announced so that everyone could hear, I worship the one who raised from the dead. That little missionary girl, she hit the nail on the head. What is the real meaning of Easter? You say, preacher, what is this day really all about? Lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. What's Easter about? Vainly they watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord. Let me tell you what Easter's about. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to raise. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Say, preacher, why did we drive in here today? Why are we all sitting in a parking lot in the rain? Why is the wicked world so determined to shut down churches and prevent Easter services across our land? Listen, What is the message that they really fear? Here's what it is. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. There's a third message that was given to these three women on that first Easter Sunday morning. Here it is. Go quickly. Spread the news of His death, His burial, but more importantly, spread the news of His resurrection. Go tell the disciples. Go tell your friends. Go tell your neighbors. A miracle has happened. Christ arose. Christ arose. This health mini crisis that we're facing has placed our politicians in a position where they felt it necessary to decide what entitles, what entities are necessary and essential in our society, and what entities are non-essential and unnecessary in our nation. And we've watched the debate rage. Our governor originally listed our churches as non-essential gatherings. And by the way, I think he's going to remember that mistake on election day when he first listed our churches as non-essential gatherings. But because of political pressure, he later determined that we as churches are essential. Well, God bless you, Governor Holcomb, for allowing us to be on the essential list. But of the 24 entities, only the church is burdened with an added stipulation as long as they follow CDC guidelines. We've seen across our country outright persecution of the church and church gatherings. Today in Indiana, it is just fine to have 50 people at Walmart at any given time, but only 10 people can join at the church at any given time. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in Mississippi are being fined $500 a person for simply doing what me and you are doing this morning, meeting in a parking lot, individuals in their car, safely in their car. What is it that the real problem is? Maybe we ought to do a little investigation into the mayor of that city in Greenville, Mississippi. Maybe we better find out and document what is there for everyone who's willing to look at it and see. Maybe we understand that this man loves the sodomites and hates the churches, and he's using this as an opportunity to persecute the Church of Jesus Christ. Abortion clinics are being kept open while churches are being closed. Special exceptions are being made for Americans to make sure they get their beer and their whiskey and their wine. But they targeted restrictions are levied against the local New Testament church. The attitude of our politicians towards the Church of Jesus Christ during this crisis has been unthinkable as well as unconstitutional. Now let me explain to all of our politicians and to each of you exactly why the church is not only an essential gathering in our nation, but let me explain why the church is the most essential gathering in our nation this morning. Say, preacher, why make a big deal about it? Because we are the keepers of the most essential message that could ever be proclaimed. One that carries hope and one that carries salvation, a message that is necessary for this life and essential if one hopes to gain eternal life. And that's this: Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day. There's one more message. Amen. There's one more message that this angel gave to these women. He said, go quickly, tell the disciples He is risen from the dead. Listen, and behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you so. The last message that he gave to these ladies is this: soon you shall see Jesus again. I want to remind you what the Bible says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Here's what Jesus said: I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Sorry, I just couldn't stand watching them lay there any longer, amen. How about these words? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How about this? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How about this? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Why? We're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, what is the message on this Easter Sunday? Well, it's the same message as it was 2,000 years ago. Christ died for your sins. Christ was buried and rose again. Hey, Christians, spend your life spreading the greatest story that man has ever known. And a reminder that Jesus Christ is coming back, and you shall see him very, very soon. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to stand and preach to this wonderful gathering of your people, Lord. Thank you for Easter Sunday. Lord, thank you for controlling the weather so that we can have our service. And thank you for the faithful people that have come out today. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as the gospel's been preached and the word of God has gone out, that you would speak to each of our hearts. Lord, thank you for the sense of appreciation that I think all of us feel in our hearts tonight or today to be able to be gathered here, Lord. And Lord, the word of God has been preached. Lord, if someone's here, anybody's here, has never received you as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that even now as this preacher prays, Lord, they would call out to heaven. Lord, they would repent of their sins. Lord, they would ask for your free gift of eternal life. Lord, they would ask for you to save them. And Lord, that you would make them one of their children. Lord, bless the invitation time. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to let the piano player play through maybe one verse. And then as she is playing, you talk to somebody in the vehicle with you there. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you talk to them. Somebody in that vehicle knows, without a doubt, how you can be saved. Or if you'll hang around after the service, I'd be more than glad to sit down with you right here in the church and open the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Oh, there is no greater message. God loved you. Christ died for you. He was buried, but he rose again the third day. I pray that if you're not saved, you'd receive Jesus today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to gather together. And Lord, thank you for the good people. Oh, it did this preacher's heart so much good just to walk around, just to wave through the windows, just to talk through a crack in the window there and see the children. Lord, bless each and every one. Give them safety as they return. And Lord, thank you for your watch care over us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.